from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown up.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome aboard.
Ahoy.
No Isaac today. He will be back tomorrow. So it's another SOB edition of Primetime. Sakanek, Ortner, and Buckley here for you on a Monday following our first college football weekend. We poo-pooed it before,
but
it didn't suck.
The weekend sucked.
Yeah.
The game was good.
Yes.
The game was good, and Big Will Betts was right. He said take the under and tech in the points. And
I think he was kind of right on the weather, too.
And both of that
want to know on
hit.
Weather predictions, so I appreciate your apologies. There were many texts, and I'm sure many were really worried about me getting due for the fact that it would rain in Dublin.
Yeah, because the forecast that we saw on Friday was like, was it like 59 or 62 or something and sunny? And it wasn't bad, but yeah, there was a little weather. I don't think it had any impact on the game. It was more of the
weatherman Willie.
That was more of the Florida State defensive line. But, you know, poor DJ. Old DJU just taking bullets left and right. And it was not the reason they lost that game, and yet he is just going to get run out of town on a rail.
Not to get sportsy yet. We'll talk more about this a little bit later.
Well, I mean,
but
technically, it is. I mean, this is. I mean, we are in the midst of football.
He is having a hard time living up to. I mean, there was so much hype for him before he went to Clemson, and at each step, it's just been like, oh, maybe this is the spot. Maybe this is the spot.
I talk about this a lot in when I talk in the NFL draft bias. Draft bias is just it's a real mother bear to overcome, and it goes both ways. It's the Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold thing, right? Look, Sam Darnold, since he entered the league, because what is, and I think this isn't, you know, sometimes people give me crap for being like, well, you always say that it's people, it's the Trump thing. People are talking. But can we all agree, the three of us, that there is so much Sam Darnold bloviating right now amongst NFL talking heads? From Colin to Yogi Roth to Dan Orlovsky, can we all admit that we've all heard the Sam Darnold's having a breakout year for Minnesota? Right?
Is he still like riding the residuals from like being a decent looking quarterback from USC?
This is my point.
It's the Penn State Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
that's what he's riding.
That one freaking game.
Sam Darnold, since he entered the league, which by the way was not like 2 years ago.
No,
I think he's like this
year
is,
seven
this
bump.
Is this either six or seven?
Yeah,
right?
he was drafted in 2018 by the Jets.
2018. Since Sam Darnold entered the league, do you know there's like 60 quarterbacks that qualify for passer rating? Do you know who number 60 is?
I'm going to guess it's Sam Darnold.
It's Sam Darnold. Not 54, not 51. He is dead last.
But this could be his year.
And we still do it because it's draft bias. And what do we hear from Brock Purdy?
Well, yeah, Brock's really got to prove something. Yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, he's a system guy.
I mean, my God. So draft bias is a real thing. If you get drafted high, we will make excuse after excuse, Justin Fields, for you time and time again. And on the back end of things, you know, the Tony Romos of the world, you know, we no one, nothing you do will ever be enough. It just won't. You know, with the exception of becoming Tom Brady, right, and winning
sure.
Super Bowls. You win Super Bowls, you shut everyone up.
Yeah.
But Tony Romo was a really good quarterback, and yet people constantly crap on the guy. But if Tony Romo was drafted in the top 10, he wouldn't get nearly the flack that he gets. The draft bias thing is real, and I do think that it goes for the five-star stuff, too.
Yeah.
Because when DJU came out, that was the number one quarterback in the class, and we heard all about him, and he was in California, and he spurned him, and went to Clemson, and he was the next great quarterback, and he's taken over for, you know, from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence, and now DJ. He just hasn't been good.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. He's not bad.
And that's just it. He's fine.
He's fine.
But he's not going to go out and, like, something transcendent for your program.
He wasn't great at Clemson. He wasn't great at Oregon State. And shocker, he's not great at Florida State. And the other thing with DJ is not only does he have the five-star bias thing, but he just looks... Like, if you create a football player in a lab, you ever stood next to that guy on the sidelines?
He's massive.
Yeah, we went down to an Oregon State game last year, and he's just enormous. He's everything you could want. Like, you created, like, a Cam Newton guy. He just is huge, and he's not a bad player. He's just not very good. And so, you know, it's another stop. He is not the reason they lost that game against Georgia Tech. But he's going to get the blame. And if you want to blame him, you can say this about DJ at this point. Dude, he's not winning you games. He's not the reason why you lose a lot of games, but he is not going to elevate and save a team that's having a rough go. He's just not. And at this point, he is who he is. And yet, how much you want to bet come NFL draft season, we still have to hear about how DJ is the sleeper guy. Someone's going to think they can unlock something because of the bias, that he was a five-star kid. But... I mean, my God, he was the same draft class. You know who the number two quarterback in that class was?
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud.
Wow. Okay.
C.J. Stroud's entering his second year in the NFL. Look, DJ's just not – he's not good.
He's not great.
He's not great. There you go. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's a serviceable quarterback, but serviceable gets you booed in Tallahassee when you lose to Georgia Tech. When you started out as like 15-point favorites, got bet down to, I think, was it like 9.5? And then you don't just cover, but you lose outright.
Yeah, man. That was one of those situations where I didn't hear a soul that liked Georgia Tech and the points really all week. And the public was wrong. Public usually is.
Well, that's why you always got to be careful early on. I didn't bet the game. You know, maybe if you wanted to bet the under or something, but just be careful because we see it every year. There's a team, you know, USC last year, or Clemson the last couple of years. There's always a team that we look at and based on what they did the year before. That we're just like, oh, you know, that they were undefeated last year, but it's not the same team. A lot of guys left. The weird one was we heard that Florida State's defensive line, that and Michigan were like the two best defensive lines in the country. Dude, Georgia Tech was a good rushing team. Georgia Tech just ran the ball down their throat. I mean, it's hard to score in the second half. And you don't have the ball. You're going on like eight, the other team's going on 8-minute drives and shoving it up your keister.
Someone on the Vancouver 4 text line saying, whoa, what's with all the sports already? That's a good question.
Well, it's football, man. It's football.
That's true.
It's the ACC.
Now, this is something that doesn't mean a lot to me because I think it was before my era, but also getting a Vancouver 4 text saying RIP to former WWE champ Psycho Sid. I don't remember Psycho Sid.
You don't remember Psycho Sid? Sid Vicious? Sid Justice?
Oh, okay. So same. I know that some of these guys go through similar names.
Yeah, he just was. He had like the Jack Sigma. White man curl mullet going on.
Okay.
And just probably had more roids flowing through his system than any other. He would have been the original. You know, I've said on this program many times that I have the patented satanic Brock Lesnar defense, which is where I curl into a ball, cry, suck my thumb, and then if necessary, pee myself. Look up Sid Vicious, Sid Justice. He might have originated the patented satanic Lesnar defense system. Because back in the day, he might have been the scariest human being on the planet.
Dude, the first photo that comes up looks like if you cut his hair, he might be Brock Lesnar.
Look at that,
that's,
dude.
Like, that is crazy. There's honestly a resemblance. That's wild.
And I think he's like 6'9". He's a giant human being. And I guess, like, he was just an absolute asshat, too. Like, legitimately violent and terrifying. And, that guy's seen and done some stuff. Like, all the bad... wrestling, like the stereotypes that exist out there. Have you ever seen that? What was it? The movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of...
That's this
this dude.
Okay.
I don't think he's any stranger to any sort of substance that you can put in your body.
I see.
And he died at like what? Was he? He had to be like what? Late 50s?
63. I think
that's right.
Do we know? Do we know how he died? Massive coronary. I'm guessing
probably something that you could tie back to PEDs, aka anabolic steroids.
I mean, just every one of those guys. Maybe he died. I don't know. Oh, cancer.
I was going to say, he battled cancer for several years.
I apologize.
Yeah.
But that was a good, that, I mean.
Well, look, dude.
That's a reasonable assumption. Not assumption, but a reasonable guess.
Dude, those, have you ever seen like that old 80s, 90s roster of like the WWE and the, what was the other one? The WCW?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, those guys, they have like the lifespan of like insects.
Yeah, they're cockroaches, man.
Dude, those dudes go down left and right. First off, it's probably the most violent thing you can do to your body. I mean, I think it's kind of silly that grown men watch that, but, and it's fake. It's weird when people, when people act like it's real.
Like the third most viewed page on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, it's baffling to me because like people now, like they cover it like it's real. It's like, hey, can Roman Reigns, like, it was, can he find a weight? I'm like, can he find a weight? Yeah. If the
ESPN
WWE
has started sending people, like, reporters to WrestleMania. I'm like, wait.
They're like, can he finally, this is all scripted, man.
What are we reporting on?
So that's weird. But
yeah,
you can't deny that it's probably the most physically damaging thing you can do. Those dudes wrestle like 300 days a year. And back in the day, it was worse. And like, I've seen plenty of those old, you know, documentaries and stories. Like those dudes, I don't care what sport, hockey, wrestling, MMA, boxing, there is nothing that compares to the physical toll that those guys put their body through. That's very real. And in order to maintain that, I think they reach into the bag of pharmaceuticals. So when you've lived a life that's hopped up on everything in your body that's meant to expand every muscle in your body, including your organs and heart, and then you take a ton of stuff that makes you all those organs work twice as hard because it's got to speed it up, and then you put yourself through the most punishing thing you can do 300 days a year. Oh, and then by the way, you probably swallow an S ton of painkillers in order to handle it. Shocker. By the time you get into like your mid-50s, that usually leads to, like, I can't believe like Hulk Hogan's still around. Like,
he has the money to do the surgeries.
Like Ric Flair is another one of those guys. I think Macho Man, who was like one of my favorites, I think he had a massive heart attack driving.
Did he?
He was just driving down the road one day and then was like, whoops. Whoa. Like it just stuff exploded. Ultimate Warrior, all those dudes, like they just, I feel like that's every other day. You just set your watch by it. It's like a post-it note you just move around on your calendar because you know it's just a floating engagement. That's just like the way these things are.
Macho Man Randy Savage's real name, Randall Mario Poffo.
Yeah. His brother was Leapin' Lenny.
Oh.
Was it the genius or whatever? Dude, I loved wrestling when I was a kid.
And I did too. I liked it from about sixth grade till sophomore year of high school. That was kind of my wheelhouse for it.
We had like a resurgence when we were in college because that was like when they did the
Attitude Era.
The NWO Wolfpack and all that.
Yeah, and
that's like, right. That was right in my wheelhouse.
For a brief moment. And then like I turned like 21. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. But some people love that. I mean, it's still a huge deal. And, you know, it's around. Like, you hear stuff about it. And hey, man, if that's what you like doing, it's just a male soap opera. It's fascinating to me the way it's covered now. It's almost going back to where we're trying to cover it like a real sport. And that, to me, is
weird. As if people don't know what's going to happen.
It's
people do know what's going to happen. You might, I might not. Like, but someone knows. It's predetermined. It's weird.
Whatever. If you're a grown man, put a little more whimsy in your life. And if that's what you know, it's not any sillier than fantasy football or, you know, I don't know anything else that males do. And it's probably healthier than, you know, than drinking in strip clubs and, you know, like golf trips to Reno. So, if that's what you, John Cena or whoever the hell is, like Roman Reigns or Cody, whatever,
Rhodes.
If that's your jam, man, hey, more power to you. Just realize that your heroes aren't going to, Your hero's not going to live that long.
You share a fair number of stories with us about what happens on your walks with your dog through your neighborhood. Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I know you do. You take the morning walk. Basis. Do you also do a night walk, an evening walk, or no? Not really.
No, usually not. Like if we do an evening walk, sometimes that I dump that one off on the kid. But yeah. My big guy, he's big engine, little tank. Usually by the time the evening rolls around, he's ready to shut it down.
So I always take the bougie labradoodle around the block right before the end of the day.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
I saw something that I'm not 100% sure that this was happening, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure this was happening. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. I think a woman was walking her dog on a leash while also walking her cats off leash.
Huh.
I kind of turn the corner with my dog and I see this woman and she's holding a leash and I see a little animal and then I see another little animal and a third and those two are kind of like following the group but they're like, they're not tethered like the dog is. And at first, I thought they were three dogs, and two of them were just off-leash and well-trained. And no, it was two black cats following a woman and her dog. Huh. The dog had no issue with the fact that the cats were kind of just walking along behind. And they'd stop, and the dog would sniff, and the cats would stop and scratch themselves, and then they would keep moving. And this whole pack of five of them just kept going.
I kind of like the idea of
I think she was walking her cats, or they were voluntarily walking themselves.
First off, can you walk a cat on a leash?
I don't know.
I feel like cats wouldn't take a leash.
You can. It doesn't really work. It's weird.
Yeah,
I've seen people do it.
I feel like that cat is just going to turn and claw the hell out of you. I don't think you can leash a cat, but I'm not going to lie. I'm not much of a cat guy. I don't mind cats.
I'm not a cat person. I'm allergic to. I've always been a dog person.
I've never had cats. They're not my jam. I judge dudes that are single that have cats. I think it's weird. but hey, again, if that's what you love. But the idea of like, now this is weird. The more cats following me, I think it'd be the better. Like, because like my dog
very
is
Charlie Day of you.
Yeah, well, my dog is just
Charlie Kelly.
I have a massive dog.
Yeah,
and the idea of me walking him and then like an army, like half dozen. The idea of like a half a dozen cats
marching behind you,
preferably all like rain cats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That cat that's seen some stuff.
Yeah, some feral in nature. Yeah,
dude, that's kick ass. I don't know how I make that happen, but let's go. I kind of like what's happening here. Just like some cats. Hey, are those your cats? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe go F yourself.
At first, I thought the cats were like just going to check out what's going on with this dog. And I'm like, I think they're a crew. I think they're all going together. I was blown away.
This guy said, Vancouver for a text line. It works. My Bengal cat has gone on walks daily for years.
That's wild.
He says, I'm married soon. That makes it a little bit.
And I'm guessing off leash. But yeah, I've never seen anything like it. I wasn't sure that's what was happening, but I'm pretty sure it was.
And this guy says, we have a gentleman, our neighbor, who walks his dog three times a day and his cat follows.
Okay, so it's a thing.
Huh.
That's wild.
I didn't know. I walk every day, and I have for years, and I can't say that
Same.
I've ever seen someone walking their cats, but I'm not going to lie. I'm on board. I kind of think it's badass.
Ooh.
If you could tell me I could get an outdoor cat that would follow me on my walks, I'd be up for that.
We have the idea for you from the Vancouver Ford text line. What about a walking gang of raccoons?
No idea.
Only we know Ka wouldn't go for that.
No, it pisses me off because he scares away all the raccoons in my yard. I'm not kidding. The amount of money that I would pay, like, it's a significant sum. Like, within reason, I would write a blank check to have a raccoon that followed me around. And by the way, my raccoon would not walk. It would ride on my shoulder, like parrot style. And then it would jump off and go do like cool raccoon things and then scurry back up and get back on my, like Yoda style. I'd have like a little baby Bjorn maybe in front. If people think I'm being facetious, like I'm joking.
If you could have it, you would.
I am not. If there was a way that I could make this happen, I 100% would do this. Like, cause like there's a family raccoon that lives in one of my trees. If I could take one of the babies and take it to a vet, but like they're illegal to have. So no vet would see it. But if I could get it like vaccinated to where I know it didn't have rabies or whatever, I'm sorry. I would be raising that raccoon.
I love it. I had a buddy in college who they had a place out in Heber, Utah. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I am
that
familiar.
Is.
I've been to Heber, Utah.
And they had a, I guess it was a doe on their property that got killed by a nearby hunter and mm-hmm. left a little baby, and they like raised the deer in their house.
It's like, it's my dream. I want to be Dr. Doolittle. I've seen a lot of people now that are getting these mini Highland cows.
What?
You haven't seen the mini Highland cows?
I don't think so.
It's the cutest freaking thing of all time. They're like the shaggy Highland cows.
Oh, okay. I think I know the type, but like how small are they?
Oh, well, I mean, they're big.
Yeah.
But they're
well,
mini,
small for a cow.
They're small for a cow, but I mean, you know, it's still a significant animal, but I'm telling you, look up mini Highland cow and tell me that it's not the greatest thing known to man, especially if it hung out with my raccoon. Schwarzenegger has a mini horse and a mini donkey, and they live in his house.
Oh, that's lovely.
He posts them on Instagram all the time. They literally just live in his house. Now, I'm sure he's not cleaning up when they take a dump in there. He's got someone to do that, but...
maid, perhaps?
It's possible. But he just, like, he smokes cigars, and then, like, they just cruise around his house. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Well, we got to get back to sportsin, and we have a sports guest today. The great friend of the show, Dave Bartu, going to join us at 5:15, going to talk all things college football, get his thoughts on the upcoming season. He gets into the weeds with some betting stuff as well, overs, unders, things to be surprised by, and really want to pick his brain about some of the, I guess, measurable factors that the Ducks have going into this season, because he's big on that as well. Also need to talk about 11 NFL players stuck in an elevator, and their coach is fired up about it. And let's see in the news, local cyber attack delays travel, a circus accident here in Portland, and in the club today we'll have Space Force, could have some company up there, as well as we may have found a missing aircraft that's been referenced on this show before. But first, CD Lamb got paid. Worth every penny or just his turn? That's coming up next. It's the poll on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Primetime, an SOB edition. Going to have a sports guest today, Dave Bartu from the College Football Matrix, joining us at 5:15 to talk all things across the college football landscape, as well as some Ducks talk. But big time NFL news today. There was no urgency to get the deal done with CeeDee Lamb because I think maybe the Cowboys were hoping it wouldn't cost them quite this much. But
it always does.
It always does, and here we are.
I don't understand. It's the second richest non-quarterback contract in NFL history. $38 million signing bonus, $100 million guarantee. Dude got paid, right? Did anyone in their right mind think that CeeDee Lamb was going to take a team-friendly deal?
Of course not.
When was the last...
So then why did it take so long?
I don't understand. And look, I understand that CeeDee Lamb doesn't necessarily need training camp. He's CeeDee Lamb. He's fine. Yeah. But when you don't have that ramp up, and you're not working out with the team. We see this all the time, and it's proven. Like, soft tissue injuries, pulled hammies, quads, stuff like this, nagging stuff, it certainly doesn't help you at the start of the season. It just doesn't. And I'm not saying that CeeDee Lamb's going to go out and have a rough start to the season, or that this is the reason why, or blow out a hammy or something, but it certainly is not a great indicator of getting off on a great first step. And you knew you were going to pay him anyway, so I do not understand. Same thing with Trent Williams. I don't get it. It's one thing if you're ready to move on for a guy, if you're really going to call his bluff, the IU thing.
Right, sure.
The 49ers are willing to move on from him.
Yes, that's become clear.
But the Cowboys and the 49ers are not willing to move on from Trent Williams, and they're not willing to move on from CeeDee Lamb.
No.
So I don't understand the value in just taking this thing all the way through camp up until the start of the season. And Trent Williams is the best left tackle in football. CeeDee Lamb is one of the two or three best receivers. And one of them finally just got there, and the other one's still sitting at home.
Well, so that brings us to our primetime poll question today. CeeDee Lamb's new contract makes him the second highest paid non-QB in NFL history. What's your reaction to the four-year $136 million deal? Was he way overpaid? Was it just his turn, as I think you may be referencing? Worth it? He's that good? Or Cowboys got a great deal?
I mean, I guess it's just it's his turn. But he, I mean, he's worth it if you think that that's what receivers are worth. I mean, you know, and maybe I'm a little screwy, because look, I think now when you look at non-quarterbacks, I think it's like nine of the 20 highest paid players in the NFL, not quarterbacks, are all receivers, and Lamb may be the 10th. So this is becoming the most valuable position in football. And I'm not denying that receivers are valuable, right? It's a passing league. Everything is predicated around throwing the ball, and you need someone to throw the ball to. But as I've said many times, it's not the only. You don't have to have a $35 million receiver to be good.
Do you know how many guys had 1,000 receiving yards last year?
I'm guessing a butt ton.
28.
Yeah, and this is kind of my
basically
thing.
One per team.
Yeah, and like. So whether it's DJ Moore or CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase or Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel or Cooper Kupp or Tyreek Hill or Waddle, I mean, right? And Olave we can go on and on and on and on, and there's more coming every year. Puka Nacua last year, Cooper Kupp 3 years ago was the best receiver in football. Right? Like, no one would question that.
No. I mean, yeah, he was MVP caliber, setting all kinds of records.
Now he's the second best receiver on his team. And Puka Nacua was a fifth-round pick, right? Like, Stephon Diggs goes to the Texans this year, and everyone's like, oh, Stephon Diggs. Can we make an argument that Stephon Diggs is the third best receiver in Houston?
That's kind of what I've been thinking, and I know that everyone's like, he's the, you know, he's A1, and he certainly was in Buffalo, but Collins and Dell are really good.
And no one knew outside of last year, no one knew who Nico Collins and Tank Dell were. They were afterthoughts.
Yep.
And so it's just like this idea that you have to have CeeDee Lamb. If you're the Cowboys this year, yeah, you probably have to have CeeDee Lamb. But going forward, is paying a receiver $35 million a year? Justin Jefferson is the highest paid non-quarterback in the league,
yeah.
if I'm not mistaken, yep. Still, right? Mm-hmm. He's number one. And for the most part, most people believe that Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in football.
Yeah.
Him, Tyreek Hill, right? But for the most, you know, Justin Jefferson. And this is not Justin Jefferson's fault. Does Minnesota lost to the Giants mm-hmm. in the postseason. They lost to Daniel Jones. And now that Cousins is gone, like, cool, you're paying Justin Jefferson $35 million, and he's going to get his no matter who's throwing him the ball. Justin Jefferson's ain't going to mean jack squat to you. It just isn't.
Well, and
the Kansas City Chiefs let what I think is the best receiver in football walk.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, to me, still the best receiver in football. I think he's the toughest cover. He's the biggest mismatch. Play on the outside, can play on the inside. Guy can do anything. Most explosive guy with the ball in his hands. He's a scumbag, but damn it, that guy can play football.
Yep.
And the Kansas City Chiefs said, we can't pay you. And they let him walk. And can we also admit that the Kansas City Chiefs have totally whiffed on trying to find his replacement?
Yep.
Juju wasn't great. They let him go. He actually came back.
Yeah, he signed he's back
in, today. In that. And Rashee Rice was okay. Tony didn't do anything. Sky Moore wasn't a thing for him.
No. Like, McCole Hardman never really panned out much.
They just didn't really find a great replacement. And the last time I checked, the Kansas City Chiefs, since letting Tyreek Hill go, and I get it, they got Pat Mahomes, but, you know, for this receiver position that you can't do without, they won, let me see here, one and then two. So how many years has Tyreek Hill been gone?
Three, I believe.
This will be his third.
I believe you're correct.
I think that's right, yeah.
And they have two Super Bowls.
Yep.
So that's all I'm saying. And going back all the way to Tom Brady. Outside of Randy Moss, they won six Super Bowls with
Deion Branch
and Wes Welker and
Troy Smith,
Danny Amendola and Troy Brown.
Troy Brown,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Just people. They had the one Edelman. Dude that there was a converted lacrosse player from Penn State.
Oh, yeah. Hogan, was that it?
No, it's like you don't have to have $35 million receivers. So, yes, you got to pay CeeDee Lamb. Yes, you pay Justin Jefferson. But is it the most valuable position in football? That's what we're saying right now. I just think we're over our skis with what it means. And in media, we love to do the, we didn't have anyone to throw the ball to. Who's good? That's the with the Buffalo Bills this year. I can't tell you how many times I have to listen to one guy in particular, and I don't want to say it, but he's on a national show. And I just, every day, he just, who's Josh Allen going to throw the ball to? Hey, now that Diggs, and who's he going to throw the ball to? You got no one to throw the ball to. You don't think that Josh Allen's going to figure out how to do this? You don't think that Josh Allen can take players? And by the way, they have two really good tight ends. You know, you don't think that the Buffalo Bills understand that there are other people on the outside that you can throw the ball to? We do this every year with wide receivers. And it just, it's one of those things about the NFL that drives me a little crazy, that the narrative now is that if you don't have a Tyreek Hill or you don't have a Justin Jefferson, that you can't possibly win. And it's just inaccurate. It just is.
Well, last I've checked, the Bills have been pretty damn good with just that one receiver. And if they think that they don't need him moving forward, they're probably right, because they've been really successful under the current regime.
Because if it really meant that much and they're a smart roster construction, Stephon Diggs would still be in Buffalo. Just like when everyone said that the Kansas City Chiefs were dumb for letting Tyreek Hill go, turns out they were pretty smart.
Yep.
So smart organizations don't always just pay the freight and say, because the public says that we have to have this guy. You know, it's just, you know, watch the Chargers got rid of all their guys, and watch the Chargers this year go on and win like 12 games and give everyone a big F you.
Well, the way that things are going, it feels like the way you build your roster is absolutely crucial. We touched on that a little bit on Friday, but we're now going into a Seahawks season with a lot of the same familiar faces, but we have a new head coach at the helm, first time in 14 years. I know that you're starting to become bullish on this team, and I want to dive a little bit more into that, because they've been active recently with a few transactions. They got some news today, but what's in store for the Seahawks this season? We'll get Suk and Ortner's thoughts on that coming up next, but first, Will with the SportsCenter update.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. It's a new era up in Seattle. Good music for this segment, I suppose, with Kurt Cobain there and Nirvana. But the Seattle Seahawks this year, first year in 14 without Pete Carroll at the helm on the sidelines. It's going to feel a little bit weird, and
strange.
You know, this preseason is usually a time to answer questions about players that we have questions about, and I'm not sure that the Seahawks roster comes with too many of those this season. But at the same time, I feel like we've just been quiet about the franchise and in general and in what to expect. The last couple of years have been very, I don't know if you want to say pedestrian, vanilla, 9-8. It's just, there's not been a lot to be excited about, but they've been fine. And I'm wondering, as we get into it now, some of your expectations, both you and Will, for this new era under Mike McDonald.
See, Seattle is one of my sleeper teams. The only thing that stops me is that division is really hard. But we were talking about teams that didn't make the playoffs last year that could be playoff teams, or, you know, teams that were borderline and could make the jump. And Seattle was a 9-8 team, and they missed the playoffs by one game. So I don't know how much of a stretch that is. But when you look at a team the last 2 years that's been 9-8, I don't know why. And Seattle got better, by the way, in the offseason. I'm not certain why there's this weird sense that Seattle is just like this awesome random. I've seen a lot of people that like Arizona.
And I have too, oddly.
And they're jocking the Cardinals. And I think it just comes down to the fact that, you know, quarterback play in the
flashier
league.
Players.
And there's just not a lot of love on Geno Smith. And then there's a lot of hype about Marvin Harrison Jr. And maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. is the second coming. But as I just stated, I think receivers are, we way overvalue the impact of receivers, because even if Marvin Harrison is this great receiver, Seattle's got really good receivers.
They've got a couple really good ones, yeah.
I think they've got three, and there's a lot of talk about this Jake Bobo.
Yep, people
coming
like
out
him.
Of camp that people like him. And this is Lockett's last year, by the way, because he's set to make a S ton of money. He'll get moved on. But
yeah.
You have a true number one in DK Metcalf. I think Lockett has been one of the more underappreciated receivers in the league for years. Mm-hmm. And everything I'm hearing, and towards the end of the last year, the back half of last year, Smith and Jigba started to kind of come on, and there's been a lot of really good buzz with him out of camp. So to me, you have three really good receivers. And look, I'm not trying to say that Geno Smith is the end all to be all, but again, go look. Geno Smith has been a solid quarterback the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Not a world beater. The health along the offensive line, You got to keep your tackles happy. But if you do that, I just think there's a lot to like. I think you have two really good backs when healthy. I think you have a good O-line, and I think you have an elite receiving core, and I think you have an above average quarterback. So if we're going to say that, like, you know, a quarterback like Kirk Cousins can do something and take a team deep, and I know there's some question marks about that, I don't think there's much difference between Geno Smith and, let's say, 9 through, I don't know, 15 in the league. I think he's in that range, and his numbers back it up. And the defensive side of things, I think there's a ton to like about this defense. Secondary is elite. I think your defensive front is very good. Linebackers, again, every team has question marks. It's just the way it is. And there's some health issues around the linebacker, the linebacking core, but I think it's a very, very good front. And everything you're hearing about Murphy, the kid out of Texas, is that he could be an absolute game wrecker.
Yeah.
Supposedly he's unblockable in practice. We've seen him in the preseason. It's the same thing. So, look, I look at Seattle and a team last year that went on the road and had some big wins. I mean, the Lions were a team last year that should have been in the Super Bowl, right? They went into Detroit and beat them. I mean, this has been a team that has some big wins, and some of their losses have been close. I think, what, the Cincinnati nicked them last year in a close one.
Yep.
I mean, that's easily a team last year that could have been an 11-win team. And you take a guy like Mike Macdonald coming over, who is kind of the Sean McVay of defenses. They said the last 2 years, there's been a 7 or 8 defenses that have specifically switched over to his defense.
Jeez, I didn't
realize
that. He
is the guy now that is kind of leading the charge and the defenses that he's running. So, and
what is it that he's doing or does specifically that people really like?
Well, I would assume that he gives them a bump, and he's doing it because they don't have to blitz a bunch. Like, he's just being able to scheme pressures and the different ways that he attacks and what he does with his secondary.
Without giving up numbers.
And again, he has a really, really good secondary to back this up, which should give him some flexibility up front. The one thing that Seattle hasn't done the last couple of years is just stop the run.
Yeah.
And I would assume with his defensive acumen, they should be better at stopping the run. So I just, like I said, overall, I just really like this Seattle team. It's just, if they had a quarterback not named Geno Smith, I think we would talk about them an awful lot. And some of that, I think, goes back again to the draft bias that we just view Geno Smith as a career backup.
Just a guy.
And I'm not trying to make him out to be, you know, Tom Brady or make him out to be Aaron Rodgers, but look at his numbers. Geno Smith last year, especially when it came to the deep ball, was one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL.
Teams have won more with less.
So I don't know why we're just instantly looking at Seattle like everyone's jocking the Rams and saying that the Rams are going to be great. Everyone's loving the Cardinals. And, you know, maybe they are just the odd man out in this division because it's such a tough division. I just don't see how Seattle, who's been 9-8 last year and now with a new coach, which we're assuming bumps up the defense, and the offense has continued to get better. This roster has gotten better. I don't see why or how they take a step back. This, to me, is a 10-11 win team.
The key is going to be in, can Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas stay healthy? Last year, they were not healthy, especially Lucas. Lucas missed, I think, close to 75% of the games, and that was a big deal because they don't have a backup tackle. Like, Stone Forsyth is fine, but he's a backup tackle, and you're asking him to go play right tackle. And he wasn't getting the job done, so there was extra pressure getting on Geno. They weren't able to run the football to the right side. They had to run it strictly to the left. And when you can only run the football one way, teams can scheme up ways to stop that. Now, I'm really interested to see, and Suk touched on this earlier, but Geno Smith is one of the best throwers of the deep ball. Well, what does Ryan Grubb like to do? He likes to scheme up deep routes, and you have probably the fastest and the biggest, strongest wide receiver in the entire National Football League in DK Metcalf, and his hands get better year after year after year. Yeah, I'm pretty high on this Seahawks team. The big thing is going to be, can you keep those two tackles healthy with your right and your left, because you're not very deep on that offensive line. It's better than it was, but you're not very deep. And then defensively, how big of an impact can Murphy have? You know, when you have that interior rush that can get not just to the passer, but can also stop the run from that three-tech position, a defensive tackle, or, you know, depending on what kind of D-line scheme you want going in, he might even bump down into that nose guard position. If he's able to be unblockable, it frees everything up, so you don't have to add an extra pass rusher and a blitz. You don't have to try and find different exotic fire zones. So now you're not having to add Witherspoon into the blitz packages. You don't have to add Kobe Bryant, who has moved over to safety. You don't have to add Julian Love, who's moved to safety, into these exotic blitz packages that Seattle was having to use in the past to try and stop the run. You can now play your box guys as box guys, and you don't have to take someone out of coverage to bring a blitz. If you can do those things, a lot of defensive wiggle room opens up, and this Seahawks team could be really dangerous.
Geno Smith, by the way, and I wanted to back this up. So he's been the starter in Seattle for 2 years, and then the year before that when he was the part-time guy. So he played in four games.
Sure.
But I would just like to say that his quarterback rating in the 3 years that he's been in Seattle and has played is 103, 101, and 92.
You can win with that.
You can win with that. So
he said not world beater, but good enough, serviceable. If your defense is good, it's
68, 69, 65% of his passes.
Real quick, thoughts on the running game? I feel like that's been lacking in the last couple of years, and it's been kind of a who's going to be the guy, and then the guy that they think is going to be the guy is always nicked up with injury. It's going to be Kenneth Walker but
you got a two-headed back here. And most people now are going two-headed in Zach, the kid out of UCLA,
Charbonnet.
When you look at some of the advanced metrics, he's an explosive play. Like, he's a home run hitter. And so I do think that this is going to be split, but I think both of those guys are NFL backs. Again, they're not necessarily elite, but look at like what the Chargers are rolling with.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily rolling with elite guys either. A lot of places aren't rolling with elite backs, with the exception of Christian McCaffrey, who is an elite back.
And by the way, the 49ers did it without him before. They did it with guys like Raheem Mostert.
Yes.
And so even elite teams don't need an elite guy to do
so
that.
I think to kind of pair what Will said, I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, can you keep your offensive line healthy? Because if you can, and you brought in Connor Williams now to finally solidify that center position, they haven't had that since Max Unger left, so they're pretty high on him.
Drafted a guard.
So, you know, and I guess they're saying that, Bradford and who's the other guy? Christian Haynes.
The Michigan kid.
So they're saying that they could have a nice little rotation. There's finally maybe some depth on the inside, so maybe that helps get the run game going a little bit. I'm a little more bullish on Seattle, and believe me, I'm not a Seahawk homer. I just think that McDonald is going to give them a boost, and this is a better team. And when you look through 23, I'm talking about the 2023 season, with the exception, they had the bad loss early on to the Rams, which looked really bad, and the Ravens kicked the you-know-what out of them.
Yeah.
And the Ravens kicked the crap out of a lot of people. Other than that, dude, they won a lot of games. They won 9 games. And like the Cincinnati loss, 17-13, right? Right in there. What was the other one? 17-16 to the Rams, which everyone's jockeying. The Niners have been their foil. They lost that game to the Cowboys, 41-35 in that shootout. San Francisco beat them by a score later on in the year. They lost by one score in Pittsburgh. I mean, they were in a lot of those games. It's just not a bad team. It's just a team that people are sleeping on. So just keep an eye on that. The only thing is the division may just be a nut grinder. Because if Arizona is good.
Right.
And that's one that I don't know.
You're not going to expect the Rams or the Niners to be bad.
No. So that just may be one of those that's just
a tough year because it's a tough road.
It's a tough year because it's a tough road. But I think that look at what the NFC North is bringing to the table, you know, with the exception of maybe Minnesota. But, you know, Chicago is going to be good. The Lions are going to be good. You've got some divisions out there where there's three legitimate teams. You know, the Steelers may be a bit bumpy, but Cleveland, if they get good quarterback play, is going to be good. Baltimore's not going anywhere. I mean, there are some legitimate meat grinder divisions. And even though the Steelers offense doesn't get going, you know, the Steelers defense is going to be fine. I mean, there just isn't easy outs in play there. And this may be one of those divisions where all four teams are battling it out. I still think San Francisco is the class of that, but it may be, you know, a bunch of 8-win teams and there's going to be two games that break the way. And that's going to be the difference between either the Cardinals, the Rams or the Seahawks making the postseason. And, mm-hmm. and I like Seattle. I think Seattle's roster, with the exception of quarterback, I think it is a better roster than what the Rams and the Cardinals are bringing. The only difference is quarterback play. And I don't think the gap between Geno and those other two quarterbacks is quite as big. There's a gap, but it is not the Grand Canyon that people are making it out to be.
Well, we had an incident in Dallas that involved one team's franchise quarterback and an elevator that was not working. Their head coach Could not be more thrilled about it. We'll give you all the details next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Lock, cock, ready to rock.
Boy, Jim Harbaugh was sure fired up about his team. 11 of his players, including his franchise quarterback, stuck in an elevator in Dallas. I asked you during the break, and we're not quite sure, is Harbaugh doing bits at this point? Because I think he's a little weird. I mean, I know he's a little weird.
Strange.
He's a different kind of dude. I can't quite tell when he's playing with us and when he's not, but... If you don't know the story, over the weekend, the Chargers, including Justin Herbert, 11 of them, got stuck in an elevator. Yeah. It was, I guess, in a blind shaft at the Westin in downtown Dallas. And there's all these quotes coming out about exactly the incident and what happened and what went down. And basically, Jim Harbaugh says, quote, "We dodged a bullet." I usually think of dodging a bullet, of dodging an injury in football. You've got to get good at that. You've got to get good at making yourself harder to break. But that's a shared experience that brought them closer together. I just missed it being on that elevator. I was like, wish I could have been there with those guys. But Justin Herbert was.
he was lauding his leadership on the elevator.
He goes on to say, Justin Herbert, his hair was a little bit wet, but his shirt was completely dry. That was another thing that just blew me away. The guy is just a beast.
He says it's a test of wills.
Yeah.
Like, what?
He goes on to say that the remarkable thing that came out of it was, to a guy, young rookie players, Justin Herbert's a leader. He was a rock. He kept everybody calm. Jerry Fouts told me the same thing. Pulled me aside after they got out. Just how great Justin was and how everybody kept their poise.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Look, I'm the first to admit that I am a terrible football leader. I'm a terrible football follower. I was always struggled with the leadership team building this horse crap. So I probably don't know what I'm talking about. Jim Harbaugh has built a winner everywhere he went. But my God, dude, you were stuck in an elevator. Like what? What sort of leadership? Oh, you just stuck in an elevator.
You didn't like liberate refugees from somewhere.
You sat in an elevator for a little bit and told people, dude, don't freak out. We'll be fine.
And like, some people were sweating because there were 11 people crowded into a space. Like,
I would love to know, like, if Justin Herbert, if he just told everybody, hey, cool it, dude. Like, we all have cell phones. Like, we call.
Yeah, we'll be
like,
fine.
It'll be fine. Did it say how long they were in the elevator?
A couple hours.
2 hours.
It was 2 hours?
Yeah.
All right, so that's a decent hunk of time. It's been sitting up there for 2 hours. Maybe someone got claustrophobic. I don't know.
Harbaugh.
They helped like deliver a baby while he was in there.
You get into those situations. It's a test of wills. I was proud of each of those guys and the two women that were on that elevator. That's a win. You feel good about yourself. You were challenged. It was a test of will, and you pull it down or pull it in. I don't even know what that means.
I see. This is what I don't understand.
It was hot. What? Each person came off the elevator sweating, and some even had their shirt off. But Justin's hair was a little bit wet. His shirt was completely dry. And that was another thing that blew me away.
But here's the thing. Like, a test of will is like if you're in an elevator.
Like, you can't give up to the elevator and say, I'm done here.
Exactly. Like, not killing yourself. Like, that's the thing. Like, no one off themselves. Like, you're in it. There's nowhere to go.
No one freaked out, had a psychotic break.
Yeah, it'd be like if you locked me in this studio. Like, if the door broke and I had to be in this studio for like 4 hours, and then they got done. It was like, you know what, Souk, that was a real test of will. I have any choice. Like, I had nowhere else to go. I don't know how that's a test of will. I don't know. It's who was the remember the old was it the fullback, like was it Heath Evans that like had to swim 7 miles in the dark, like his fishing boat turned over?
Oh yeah,
like that dude. That's a test of wills. Like, you hear those stories. Like, that's one of those things, because if you give up, like, you're tired, you drown. You just sat in an elevator, but I don't know.
Well, what if someone had to pee?
Well, I don't mean, so you're
That's a test of will.
The test of will is you just had to hold your pee for 2 hours?
Or what if they peed in there? Then you have to deal with the smell. There are a lot of wills that you have to be tested with in that elevator.
I just think that Jim loves the idea of I think my guess is that Jim Harbaugh sabotaged this elevator.
Like, he rode down before
it. That's the other conspiracy theory. He staged this whole situation for that bonding because he's that much of a team chemistry hardo.
I do love that he legitimately regrets not being in the elevator.
I wish I was on that. I just missed it.
I
actually believe he wishes he was on.
He's just a different breed.
He is.
Like I said, while I think that is ridiculous, that's probably why Jim Harbaugh is a Hall of Fame coach and I am not. I would fail the test of will. Actually, I wouldn't, because I'd get out of the elevator.
But if you were the coach, you'd be like, yeah, I kind of stunk for those guys. Some of them were pretty hot. And that'd be the end of that.
And then I would have been like, thank God I'm not in that elevator.
It wouldn't be some tale of fortitude and perseverance. And
that's an interesting one to me. The Chargers are one of the more fascinating teams, because I think that the roster in general took a step back, especially from a skilled standpoint. I mean, you got rid of your back, got rid of your receivers. You brought in an offensive tackle, obviously, in Alt. You got a new system there. You're going to run the ball. I'm just interested. I'm interested to see what Harbaugh does, because that guy has won everywhere he's gone. Does he make an instant transformation, or are the Chargers kind of the also ran in that division? But it's also kind of a weak division. No offense, but Denver doesn't look great, and they got a rookie quarterback.
You don't have a lot of faith in Vegas either.
No, so I don't know. Maybe the Harbaugh will thing, and you by far have the second best quarterback in that division. Maybe Harbaugh does immediately bring and pay huge dividends there. The Chargers are just a fascinating story, and Jim Harbaugh is the reason why. And maybe I want Harbaugh to win week one and then credit the elevator and be like, yeah, elevator tough. Like, he'll show up with an elevator tough, elevator strong. Like, you know, the Boston Marathon bombing and us, same thing.
Well, you know,
just
what?
Just an internal fortitude.
You know what the strength coach's slogan is, right?
What?
He's trying to make them harder to break. Like, that's the whole
thing. Is that their little mantra?
Yeah, they are trying to become harder to break.
Better or worse than Swerm?
I've never been able to
be harder to break.
That. But I mean, it has to work. A lot of people do it. I'm not a big mantra guy. Maybe that's why I lacked the will and fortitude to be a Jim Harbaugh guy. Be harder to break. And I'm like, can I just play football? That's like, I've never quit in a football game. I don't understand. We never quit. Not many people do. Most of the guys are professionals. They will go out and play hard. Yeah, but have you ever been in an elevator for 2 hours with Justin Herbert and he didn't sweat?
Coming up next.
His hair was a little wet, though.
Coming up next hour, we'll see if we have any will and fortitude in Stockwatch. That's at 4:15. Then additionally, in the news, we've got a local cyber attack, back to school but later than usual, and a circus accident right here in Portland. But before we get into any of that, 0 week delivered, and now college football is officially here. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.